In Exodus 3, we read the story of Moses and the burning bush, a bush that's on fire and yet it didn't burn up. And God calls to Moses out of the bush and he tells him that he's on holy ground. And then God tells him that he has heard the cry of the Israelites who work as slaves for the Egyptians, and that Moses is to go to Pharaoh and take the Israelites out of Egypt. Moses says, "Who am I to do this?" And God says that God will be with him. Well, then Moses asks, "What do I say when the people ask who sent me?" And God replies, "I am who I am. Thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you." In Exodus 3, verse 14. I think for Quakers this is particularly powerful because we talk about the divine presence and the eternal now, the sense that God is with us in the eternal now always, and it is this constant eternal now. The Gospel of John has multiple I am statements, and that are made by Jesus. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. Before Abraham was, I am. I am the door, or I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the true vine. This morning I want us to take a bit of time to reflect on these, each of them, one at a time. And so we're going to go back and go through them in order. And I will set a bit of context for the statement, and then I'm going to pause and allow us to reflect on that and invite you to share what it is that you notice in that I am statement, how it speaks to you. I am the bread of life. At the beginning of John 6, Jesus has fed a crowd of 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Afterwards, the crowd follows Jesus, asking for a sign that God sent him. And they remind Jesus that while they were in the wilderness, the ancestors ate manna. I know, it's crazy, isn't it? We want a sign. We want another sign. We want to be sure. While in the wilderness, their ancestors ate manna that God gave to them every day. And it says, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. In John 6, verses 32 to 35, we read, then Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. As we wait for each one of these, if there is something that comes to you that you would like to share with us as a community, I invite you to do so, to speak out of the silence. I am the light of the world. The Feast of Tabernacles has just been completed, and likely this scene takes place in the temple. And they tell me that there would have been a large candlestick that was lit in the temple. And Jesus speaks in John 8, verse 12, and says, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then in the next chapter, John 9, as Jesus prepares to heal the blind man, he said, As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And again in John 12, after the triumphant entry into Jerusalem and before the Last Supper, Jesus is talking. And he reminds them that he is one with God and that he came to save the world, not to judge the world. And in John 12:46, he says, I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in darkness. Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus is having a conversation with the Jewish leaders about Abraham, who they say is their father. And Jesus says, well, if Abraham was your father, you would be doing what Abraham did. Instead, you're trying to kill me because you follow your father, the devil. They argue about who is greatest, Abraham, the prophets, or Jesus. And Jesus points to God, who he knows and follows, as did Abraham. And then they ask if Jesus, a man who is not yet 50 years old, has seen Abraham. And in John 8:58, Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, before Abraham was, I am. I am the door, or I am the gate. The older versions use I am the door, while the more modern translations use I am the gate. In this case, Jesus is using a familiar metaphor for people and talking about the sheep and the shepherd. He contrasts the thief with the shepherd and says the shepherd is known and comes in the gate. The sheep know the shepherd's voice and follow him. But the people were confused about what he was talking about, and so he explains in John 10, verses 9 and 10. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I am come that they have life and have it abundantly. I chose to leave in the version that said, I am the door, because the door actually speaks more to me than the gate. The gate which you think about keeping someone out, and the door about which I think of as a way to enter. And for me to think about Jesus being the door, and I liked this picture because it looks to me like the handle is partly open. It's being opened, and there is a way for me to enter, to come in. And I love that idea that we can come in and enter into his presence. He goes on in the next couple of verses and says, I am the good shepherd. And he expands his teaching on this idea of talking about the sheep and the shepherd. In John 10, verses 11 through 16, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus arrives at the home of Mary and Martha to find out that Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Martha says that if Jesus had been there, her brother would still be alive. And Jesus counters that he will rise again. Martha says she knows all about that. She knows all about rising again in the resurrection on the last day. But Jesus says it isn't just then, it is now. When he says these words in John 11:25-26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus mourned with his friends and then asked that the stone be rolled back and called Lazarus to come out. Lazarus came out of the tomb bound in death cloths, which the people removed. I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus is talking to his disciples about going to the Father. And we read in John 14:6-9, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. And Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. I am the true vine. Throughout this whole section, several chapters here, Jesus has many conversations with his disciples, and he's always teaching them. And this comes as one of those teachings. Before I read it, I want to remind us that in Galatians 5:22-23, we remember that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. John 15:1-9. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me. As I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love.
This one feels visceral. When I think about it, it feels like being connected at some, not head place, but just that spirit flow that you know when it's flowing clear and true, and when you have that sense of it flowing clear and true, that what we do, what we say, even what we want is lined up and it flows, the fullness of God flows through. Anyway, I just, it feels like it's a, I guess I don't have another word, visceral.
It circles back around to me to the potato of life, that it's all united. You can't separate a leaf from the vine, from the fruit, from the sap, from the, that it's integral, that it's, yeah, integral. I like that one the best.
I am. Let us wait just a few more moments of open worship before I close. Are all hearts clear? Thank you, friends.